Well, welcome back to the God School. As evidenced by the previous message, we're taking a journey that Paul put forward in his letter to the Romans, for the Christian church. Keep in mind that these epistles in that which we call the New Testament, they're not written to the world, they're written to the church. And Paul says, in the seventh verse of the first chapter of Romans, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the 17th verse of that first chapter, Paul puts forward the gospel of Jesus Christ, of which he says he is not ashamed, that the righteous by faith shall live. Now, we're not going to go back over what we did last week, and by no means is last week's overview of the first four chapters of Romans complete. I neither have the time nor have I the ability to communicate all that is incorporated in those first four chapters, but as I explained last week, I was the recipient. From God's gift to the church, a pastor, which God calls his gifts to the church, whose name was Gene Scott, who went through these things, who pounded the truths of those first four chapters of Romans into my head, I am desirous of effectively communicating what comes next. I know we're going to go back to reference the foundation Paul set in those first four chapters as we go through the next several chapters of Romans. My purpose is that through these messages, further understanding might come, and through that understanding, joy, which no circumstance will ever be able to take away, that joy that we have in Jesus Christ. I don't believe the message is often communicated in what are called churches today. There were other messages being preached in this New Testament time. Paul talks about them in his letter to Galatians. He talks about false prophets coming into the church, that, the true message might be distinguished or discerned. Last week, we went through 11 verses of the fifth chapter. Ending with the 11th verse, which says, "And not only so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received," King James says, "atonement. We taught the word as katalogia. It means to set one with another, to unite parts into one whole." The one whole being God, being Jesus Christ. We are members of the body of Christ. Though we may not all be the same, we are members of the body. We have received atonement. Paul goes on and starts teaching using the whole book. And he says, "Wherefore, since this is a stated fact, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Paul's repeating what he says in the 23rd verse of the third chapter, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's no difference. Now he gives a parenthesis, and though many have concluded what Paul's talking about here is original sin, and that doctrine, that theology of original sin, let's read what Paul has to say before we start becoming theologians. And he gives this parenthesis. And we'll go back. He says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no law." Read on. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." They didn't sin like Adam, necessarily. That is, in the effect of not listening to God, but listening to the devil, and doing what God had explicitly instructed him not to do, God warning of the results, that not listening to God, not trusting his word, not faithing in him, that's sin. Paul will tell us back all the way back in the 14th chapter, he said, for whatever is not of faith is sin. But there was no law described there. And it says, sin was not imputed where there's no law. Bear with me. This is hard to communicate, but with God's help, we will get through it, and we'll get through it with understanding. So there may have been no law describing what a man should and shouldn't do, but death was to everyone, and regardless of having the law that defined sin, the result of sin was still there from Adam to Moses. Therefore, the conclusion was, all have sinned. But he goes on because there's more to say. He says, after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come? We're talking about Jesus Christ. Bear with me as we go through these verses. There will be understanding, but not as the offense, so is the free gift. Not as the sin, not as the trespass, so also the free gift. For if through the trespass, it should read, of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, and the gift by the unmerited favor of God, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, the gift, for the judgment was by one man to condemnation, but the free gift, I don't know why they translated it this way, but by the free grace is of many offenses unto, King James says, righteousification. The word is dikaioma. Better translated, righteousification. It focuses on its results. Its profound, eternal effects. King James says the 17th verse. For if by one man's offense, and there's a marginal note, it says, if by one offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Paul is describing the effect that we do see as a result of Adam's sin, of whom we all come from. And the effect of that is death. Now, you know, I'm talking to you here, and it suggests life, and you're hearing, and hearing, it suggests life, but Paul is describing our condition and relationship to God in that natural state which we not only got from Adam, but manifest that state, which is death. But he's also describing the life and the abundance of grace that we have in and by Jesus Christ. Let's read it, the 18th verse, correct the next time. Therefore, by one trespass, judgment came upon all to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, it says in parentheses, which means, or in italics, which means it was added by the translators. So let's leave it out for the moment. Even so, by the righteousness of one came upon all men unto justification of life. Translators, theologians, I can't tell you why. I don't have a reason. I don't know why they want to mix these words. This word that we have read in several of the verses of the preceding, where you see justification, the word in the Greek, the root is dike. All of these roots, all of these words, justification, righteousness, They all come from the same root. Why they change the words, well, it's beyond me, but I tell you, by the authority of the Greek, these are the same words. By the righteousness of one came upon all men the righteousification of life. Paul describes our condition outside of Christ as being dead. He tells us in Ephesians, you who were dead through trespasses and sins, has God now quickened, brought to life. It was only one sin that Adam committed, but we, many offenses. The grace, the free gift of grace, the free grace of many offenses unto righteousification. Of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience, the 19th verse says, of one shall many be made righteous. Why doesn't it say just? It's the same word. Why do they keep switching? Get it straight, folks. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience, the word is hupakoye. Of one. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. Hupakoio means to run to the voice of the sayer. Jesus. Was always listening to his Father. If we go back to the first chapter, of Romans, we read of, let's read it from the start. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ being the foundation of our confidence in the promises of God. It says, by whom, that is, by Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship, King James says, for the obedience to the faith. No, we have received grace and apostleship to the obedience of faith. That is the hearing. That is the running to the voice of the sayer. Children of God are listening to their Father. His words are produced here in this book. We are concentrating on one of the books of the Bible, which means Biblios, which is a collection of books. But it's the same word, hupakoye, the hearing. What did... what was it that Jesus heard that made him do all that he did for us? Which was to take upon him all our sins and carry them away. One who had never known anything other than the light of God, than the life of God, who was facing God from the very beginning, who was the agent of all creation, who took upon himself flesh and blood that he might be kinned with us, and eventually suffer by taking upon himself all our sins, and that wrath which was due sin, which came upon him, what was it that he heard? Philippians tells us that God had promised him that if he would do this, that God would raise him up and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, things in heaven, things on earth, and things beneath the earth would bow. He heard this. And having heard it, he acted upon it, which is faith. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Paul says, let me add this. The law entered that the offense might abound, that we might come to an understanding that we trespass. That's the reason for the law. Paul tells us in Galatians it was a schoolmaster. To give us understanding of our condition. He doesn't spend as much time on that subject here as he does in Galatians. He just points out the fact the law entered that offense might abound, that it might come to our understanding that all, including me, including you, have sinned. Condition established. But, and I love these buts in Scripture because They're God's butts, not man's. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The word in the Greek is superabound. I'm reminded of don't want to get it wrong. I'm pretty sure I'm right, but 2 Corinthians, the 3rd and 4th chapter, compare the law of Moses to the gospel, and certainly the law had its glory, but where the gospel came in, it so outshined the glory of the law that the glory of the law couldn't be seen anymore because it was outshined by the glory of the gospel. That's what he's saying here. Grace did much more superabound. It, you can't even see it. That little light which showed us our condition, when grace comes, it takes over. That as sin has reigned, unto death. King James says, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. As I go in an attempt to gain all that I can by looking at some original word, at these, some of these original words, I don't know why the translators use this word might. That suggests some possibility. The Greek says that as sin has reigned unto death, even so must grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. The Greek word here is dia. It means through. It's speaking of a place. It means with. It means in. That grace must reign through righteousness unto eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We're on a journey, folks. And we're on a journey through this wonderful letter by Paul to the Church of Jesus Christ, that is, to those who are the possession of Jesus Christ, the Lord's. And as we journey through Paul's words, we see things, or we are caused to see things that if we had not this wonderful epistle, we might not see. And what is it we see? We see our condition in the natural. And that condition leads to death. There is no doubt death, because of sin, has come upon all. That's our natural state. But of the grace of God, He has caused us also to see that grace of Jesus Christ, who was faithful, who of whom it says, died for the ungodly, sixth verse of the fifth chapter. And His righteousness, we could also interpolate His faithfulness, because before the worlds began, He promised that if man would misuse the freedom that God gave him, which is called sin, sin is the misuse of freedom, that He would step in, if you will, and be the fail-safe, which would restore God's creation. To its creator. He promised. And concerning righteousness, it has to do with fulfilling a contract, with fulfilling a promise. God is righteous. He does what He says. Jesus Christ is righteous. He did what He said. And by His grace, we have eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came and said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wasn't talking about having a great life down here. He wasn't talking about manifestation of God has a great purpose in your life that you're going to see it here. The life abundantly that Christ is talking about is eternal life, where we will sit and rule and reign with Jesus Christ forever. That's why Paul says down here, we can glory in tribulation. Because it produces endurance. And after we've made it through that trouble, and we've got the endurance of having been through that situation, we have experience. And experience produces hope. It's not the hope of a better life. God, help me to communicate this. I myself, I want a better life down here. That's me, that's Don, that's the old man. But what Paul is speaking of, what Jesus came to bring us, is eternal life. And that is by grace, unmerited favor to the one who has placed their hope and placed their faith. In God our Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's not unmindful of our life down here, but He has eternal purposes, and that is for us by faith to be in Christ Jesus. God willing, we'll continue in this journey as seen through Romans next time, but for now, that's the God School.